Make no mistake that God sometimes will shake things up to bring us into a new relationship with Him.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Some may be wondering why, given that God is in control of everything, He allows trouble, conflict, and turmoil to shake our world and even our own lives. That timely topic is the theme of Pastor Brian Grant's message airing this evening, as he seeks from God's Word to give two reasons for why God brings shakeup into our world and into our lives. So we invite you now to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12 and listen with us as Pastor Grant brings the first part of his message entitled, Why is God Shaking Things Up? Here now is Pastor Grant.
Mrs. Jones had a happy little parakeet by the name of Chippy. You know, Chippy spent all his days swinging and singing in his cage. One day, Mrs. Jones, she decided she was going to clean his cage with her vacuum cleaner. And she attached the vacuum cleaner hose to Chippy's cage. But as she attached the vacuum cleaner hose, the phone rang. And Mrs. Jones turned around to answer the phone. And as she answered the phone, you can know what happened. She heard a sound, shoop! Poor little Chippy. He was sucked in. She quickly threw down the phone, unplugged the vacuum cleaner, and she popped it open, and she opened the bag. And poor little Chippy, he was so traumatized by what had happened. He was shaking, but he was covered with dirt and grime. So Mrs. Jones knew she had to take quick action to get rid of all this grime on poor little Chippy. So she rushed into the bathroom, turned on the faucet, put him under the cold water. It was so ice cold. Poor little Chippy started shivering. And when she saw him shivering, she realized she had to do something. So she grabbed her hair dryer. She turned it to the maximum. Poor little Chippy didn't even know what hit him. He was so stunned by this hot air. He went silent. In just 15 minutes, Chippy had been sucked into a vacuum bag, frozen under ice cold water and blasted with hot air. You know, Chippy didn't sing anymore. One day, Mrs. Jones, as she spoke to her friend wanted to know about Chippy. Mrs. Jones said, poor little Chippy, he doesn't sing anymore. He just sits and stares. Who could blame poor little Chippy, poor little soul? His world had been so badly shaken up. And you know, this year, our world has also been badly shaken up. Am I right about that? It started earlier on the year with the coronavirus, a pandemic. And then it was soon followed by racial strife and political strife. Not to say of all the other things that has happened. Record-breaking storms. They tell us there have been more storms and hurricanes this year than ever before in this hemisphere. Record-breaking forest fires. Record-breaking tornadoes, even tornadoes. Just this week, there was one right up in my neck of the woods. What a year it has been. God is really shaking things up. That's what I'm talking about this morning. Why is God shaking things up? So, have I gotten a direct answer from God? Am I a prophet? No, I'm not. But I believe based on what I see in Scripture, I believe God is shaking things up to call unbelievers into a relationship with Him. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 through 21, we read some very interesting words as the Spirit of God writes and tells us, for you have not come, as He writes to the Hebrews and He writes to us, because this is also to us. He says, you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and burned with fire, and to blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore, for they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. This text reminds us of what is told us in Exodus 19 and 20, when God was about to give the Ten Commandments to Moses on Mount Sinai. And just before God entered into this new relationship with his people, because those commandments outlined a new relationship that God was entering with the people, and just before he entered into this new relationship, he shook things up so much that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and terrified. Make no mistake that God sometimes will shake things up to bring us into a new relationship with him. You know, there are many people who started the year 2020 with little thought of God. But because God has shaken things up so much in 2020, many of them are now followers of God. By April the 7th, which is less than 2 months after this pandemic started, Christianity Today reported that by then over 200 million people had listened to just three of the Christian websites. Over 200 million had tuned in to listen to a presentation of the gospel. Can you imagine that? Over 200 million in less than 2 months after the pandemic started. In the November issue of the Church Around the World, in the November issue, it reported that since COVID began, so many Muslims in Iran have become Christians that Christianity is now growing faster in Iran than in any other country in the world. Have you ever heard that? Muslims are converting to Christianity at incredible rates in places like Iran. As God is shaking things up, God is shaking things up, and he's bringing millions of people from around the world into a relationship with him. But what about you? There's some listening to me. You may be here. You may be listening to me on the internet. There's some of you who are watching this morning and you still have not come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. He's still not your Savior. Despite how he's shaking your world, you have not invited him to come into your life and take control. And God is shaking things up, and he may continue to shake your life up until you're willing to submit. My Bible tells me in 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4 that God wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. God wants to save you today. My prayer this morning, my friend, is that this morning you would open your heart. You would finally open your heart. And if you are a backslider that has slipped away, that this morning you would come back to him and say, Lord, I want to turn my life over to you. Thank you for shaking me and bringing me awake. Lord, I'm coming home. May God help you. God is shaking things up to call unbelievers into a relationship with himself. But secondly, God is shaking things up to call Christians to a closer relationship with him. Make no mistake, the Church of Jesus Christ is in bad shape. We're doing whatever we want to do. And I believe God is shaking things up to wake up the church and to get us back on track and to get us walking in relationship with him. Yes, sometimes Christians believe that the primary reason God is shaking things up is to shake up the unsaved. But I wonder if the primary reason is not to shake up the church to get us in a closer relationship with him. God's actions on Mount Sinai so terrified Moses. Listen, and I want you to know that he will often shake us up to drive us to a closer relationship with him. Moses was so terrified. Some of you are terrified. I get calls all the while from people who are terrified. They're scared to death because of all that's happening. So as a Christian, what do you do when you're terrified? I'll never forget years ago, our family went to Universal Studios in California, And all was well until we went to King Kong, the ride. Our two older kids were having the time of their life. But I tell you, the youngest one was still very young. In fairness to her, she was still very young. But I tell you, what a scary experience it could be for a younger person. Because I don't know if you've ever been to King Kong, the ride in California. I tell you, here we were on a very slow-moving train. It was barely moving. The place was pandemonium. There was so much noise. There was so much fire. And then here comes King Kong, a massive King Kong in the middle of the noise, in the middle of the fire. Of course, we know he's going to rescue somebody. But for a little child, King Kong seemed to have been coming to get us. My little girl, she just grabbed a hold of me. She buried herself in my arm. As I was thinking about this story, I almost could still feel her heart beating against my chest as she was so terrified. Whenever we are terrified, God wants us to cling to Him. Did you know that God delights when we grab a hold of Him, when we come to Him? And listen, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous can run into it and are safe. God wants us to cling to Him. Amen. But sadly, the Barna organization in their preliminary research tells us in this pandemic, there are some Christians, instead of clinging to God, some of them have totally disengaged from any and all churches. They have done the exact opposite. You tell me you're afraid. Are you clinging to God? The early Jewish Christians who were written to in the book of Hebrews were terrified. They were in tough circumstance. There was trouble on every hand. And it's so important that we understand the context of today's text, because a lot of what is said, if we don't understand the context, we will miss it. But the great revolt, the Jews' great revolt against Rome had begun. And this great revolt, Rome responded with maximum force. This is the revolt that would eventually result in the total destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. That's the context here. This battle had already started. The great revolt had started. And listen, here are the Christian Jews. They're in the middle of no man's land because the Jews hated them for deserting Judaism. You remember what Paul, when he was Saul, used to do? Anybody remember what he used to do? He used to persecute the Christians. And even when Stephen was stoned, the Bible said that Saul was consenting to having him killed. There were Jews living here who wanted every Christian Jew dead. And the Roman soldiers wanted every Christian Jew dead because they were Jews. So the Christian Jews were in the middle of no man's land. The Jews wanted them dead because they were traitors to Judaism. The Romans wanted them dead because they were Jews. And here they are in the middle of no man's land with nowhere to turn. But instead of turning to God and clinging to God, many of them were considering turning back to Judaism. And so in the book of Romans, as I have been going through, and this is the final message, as we have been going through these five major warnings or exhortations that God gives them in the book of Hebrews, as God tries to get them back on track. And we've seen four of these so far, but this morning I'm going to talk about the fifth and final warning. And here in Hebrews chapter 12, God was warning them about defying God. Turn with you, if you would please, in Hebrews chapter 12. Let's read verse 25. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. They did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth. That's when he spoke from Mount Sinai. But much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. I want you to make sure whenever we refuse to hear and obey God's word, we are defying God. Have you ever defied God? Come on now. You know, most of us are guilty. We may not want to use the word defying, Oh, we find all sorts of prettier words to use. How many of us would dare say, I am defying God? But that's exactly what we have done. We have done it over and over again. We have blatantly defied God because we know what God is telling us to do. And this morning, He's going to be telling us some more things He wants us to do. And I pray that when we come to the end, that there will be nobody here who will blatantly defy God and say, God, I know what you're telling me to do, but I am not going to do it. Aren't you glad God hasn't given up on us? Thank God for mercy. Thank God that this year He's shaking things up. You're bent out of shape that God is shaking things up. If you're a Christian, don't be upset that God is shaking things up. If you're a Christian, think of the millions who are now members of the body of Christ. Because God has shaken things up and they have come to Him. Rejoice! But if you're a Christian, thank God that He's shaking things up, because the Spirit of God is shaking you and He's shaking me, because I believe He's trying to get you and I to walk more closely with Him. We have not arrived yet. And there are three things in this passage that God brings up, the Spirit of God brings up, that I want to bring to your attention today, because I believe these are three of the things that if we don't get these three things right, we cannot claim that we're walking closely with Jesus. The first thing I notice in the text, we must pursue peace with everyone. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 14, here's how it reads. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Did it surprise you that as God is warning them about defying Him, the first thing He brings up was the matter of pursuing peace with everyone? Before you heard this message, before I started preaching, I went around surveying this crowd and asked you the top five things that a Christian really needs to pay attention to. I bet you very few of you would have put on the list pursuing peace. But I want you to know, my friend, although some of us don't regard pursuing peace with everyone as a big deal, I want you to realize it's a big deal to God. And whenever a Christian fails to pursue peace with everyone, it damages their relationship with God. You can claim to be as spiritual as you want to be. If you're not pursuing peace, you are not as close to Jesus as you think you are. Oh, somebody ought to say amen. We are not as close to Jesus as we think we are if we're not people who pursues peace, because God loves peacemakers. Oh, some of you remember that scripture in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse number 9, where Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Are you a peacemaker or are you a rabble rouser? I've met Christians who don't mind agitating everybody, and they feel pretty good that they have made everybody upset. I want you to know that is not God's way. And if you are like that, you need to change, because God loves peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Are you a peacemaker? Have you forgiven those who have hurt you? And have you confessed to those you have hurt? Listen, it's not only about forgiving. It's about asking for forgiveness. Some of us, people have forgiven us, but we have never gone to them and asked for their forgiveness. If you're a peacemaker, you have to be a Christian who is willing to forgive, but you also have to be a Christian who is willing to ask for forgiveness. Blessed are the peacemakers. Pursuing peace is such a big deal to God that although these Jewish Christians were surrounded by people trying to kill them, I hope you got this, Everybody wanted to kill them. And it's in that context that Jesus is telling them, pursue peace with everyone. And though they're trying to kill you, pursue peace. Oh my goodness. You know, sometimes I run into Christians and they give me all sorts of reasons why they don't have to pursue peace because of what this one did to them or what that one did to them. But nobody has tried to kill most of us yet. And if God expects those who are being people to pursue peace with people who wanted them dead, none of us have any rational or reasonable or good excuse to give. There is absolutely no reason why we should not pursue peace. Any Christian who refuses to pursue peace is blatantly defying God. Well, I hope that will sink in this morning. We just said that defying God is when we refuse to do what God says. Any Christian who refuses to pursue peace is blatantly defying God. And I just pray that this morning we will swallow our pride and we will fix unresolved conflicts. Amen? But listen, oh, you got quiet on me, but that's all right. But even when we are online, oh, I'm going to go there now. Some of you say, oh, Pastor, you've gone to meddling now if you're going to talk about what happens online. But even when we're online, we must pursue peace. I wasn't planning to, but the Spirit of God is telling me to read you Colossians chapter 4. So let's go there. Colossians chapter 4, verse number 6. What does it say? Let your speech be always with what? Be grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Let your speech, don't miss the word always. Let your speech always. You know why internet speech is so important? The majority of speech that happens today happens online. Did you realize that? Most conversations are no more live conversations. Most conversations are either by email or by social media. And somehow Christians are missing. Some Christians who may speak nicely to you live, they are terrors on social media. And today God is giving us all warning that our speech must be with grace, must always be.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.